Commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And with that, I have Brittany Smart with me. She works at the University of Alaska, Fairbanks, or U of A, correct?
UAF.
And you also are in charge of the Alaska Defense Forum that comes up.
Yes, sir. I'm actually the founder of it, and we are going into our fifth year of hosting the event here in Fairbanks.
So you were with the borough for a long time. That's where I first met you.
Yes, sir.
You put up with me well. My name's not sir. It's David.
Habit.
Yes. And what did you do at the borough before you went up to the university?
So I started working under Mayor Castle, and I was hired as a special assistant, also known as other duties as assigned.
A little bit of everything when needed.
Absolutely, special projects. So I worked under Mayor Castle for a few years, and then when he decided to not run, worked for Mayor Ward for most of his term as borough mayor.
And what did you do for Mayor Ward? How did you get this concept of the Alaska Defense Forum?
Yeah, absolutely. So part of my project portfolio was economic development and military affairs. Mm-hmm. And when we look around our community, a significant portion of what we do, we have the installations in town. We have a high veterans population. We're proud of the mission sets that we have. But there's a lot of things that the installation and missions needs that are really required to make their missions ready and resilient that are the responsibility of the community. And through that work, we got engaged with the Association of Defense Communities, which is a national organization specifically there to help better connect communities and the military to better understand their priorities, their needs, identify partnerships, and have project collaboration to move things forward. We were going to these national conferences, and they kept talking about Alaska and the Arctic, and Mayor Ward and I would look at each other, and we're the only ones from Alaska or the Arctic that are sitting there. And we're like, hey, wait a minute, we need to have these conversations in Alaska. And so we came up with the idea to host a regional version of that event. And here we are several years later with our fifth forum getting planned and ready to happen at the end of August.
What's the genesis, or I should say, what are you looking for the outcome of each forum?
The outcome. I am incredibly passionate about the partnerships and collaboration. I would say to me, the most impactful piece of the forum itself is the networking and the relationships that get forged through these conversations. I would really like to see that these ideas and projects aren't being developed in silos and have mutual recognition and understand where the overlaps are, and we can move forward on projects together.
What sort of projects are we looking at up here?
That is a great question. You can have hard infrastructure, whether it's your transportation routes, your energy needs, internet capabilities and connectivity, and then it could be more of the community-based collaborations, spousal employment, education, quality of life in terms of just living, working, and thriving in the borough.
All-encompassed.
100%.
When is it this year? When does it happen?
Yeah, so it is August 25th through 27th. So it's a three-day event. One day is intended for tours. So Monday, August 25th, we're going to be going out to Clear Space Force Station this year. We're going to be touring Poker Flat at the university's rocket range there. And then we're going to have an in-town industrial base tour. So looking at some local businesses that do manufacturing that are connected to the defense needs. They're not wholly committed to the, that's not the right way to say that. They're not solely focused on DOD needs. They do have broader applications, but they do also service the DOD.
Any thoughts of what were you going to visit in town?
Yeah, so we're going to be going to ESI. That is, they do some fantastic work there. We're going to be headed out to Panalaska and looking at what they're, some of what they're building there. We have some others that are in development that we're looking to secure. So we're in conversations to finalize the tour agenda.
So it's a three-day event. How many people attend?
So we have a great news story. We have sold out the event for the last couple of years. We were maxed at 300 people. We previously hosted the event at the Westmark Hotel and Conference Center, and that was a great place to host this event for several years. We have outgrown that space. So we're excited to announce we're moving over to the 8-Star Event Center, and I am hoping to see that event continue to grow. So 300 has been the max that we've had. So I'm not sure how big it'll grow this year, but I'd love to see that happen.
So, well, how about that? They've got a pretty big parking lot out there, too.
Tons of space. I'm excited because we'll have some of our partners, like ESI, we're trying to figure out, could we have some static displays of some of the equipment that mm-hmm. they manufacture so we can and highlight some of the work that they do. So we're going to be able to have vendor tables, and we've got room to grow, and I'm really excited about that.
They've got a lot of space.
They've got space.
What is, okay, so for the first day, Monday, everyone's out yep. touring. Tuesday, what time you start?
We start at 8:30 in the morning. And day one of the forum itself, which is Tuesday, August 26th, historically, that has been more policy based. That's where we hear from Alaska military leaders. We have some individuals from the Pentagon come in. We've had senator addresses in the past. Knocking on wood that we'll potentially have that engagement this year, but you know, schedules are still in flux. We hear from our state legislators on some of the things that they're doing related to the military community. So that's day two. And then day three is more of the case studies. What are their specific projects and topics that are being worked on through whatever theme we have? And this year, our theme is Ready Mission, Powered by Community. So through that vein, what are some of the various topics and partnerships that we can highlight and share stories and share problem sets that we can continue working on over the next year.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255, and we will be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Today's Valley's Fishing Report is proudly brought to you by 49th State Remodeling and Restoration, Alaska's trusted name in quality work. From drywall and painting to full kitchen and bath remodels, pressure washing, flood and fire restoration, even sandblasting, gutter cleaning, driveway surfacing, and log home restoration. Summer or winter, they'll even go remote, serving Alaska statewide with over 20 years of experience. Call 907-378-5610. Remodel, restore, big or small, they handle it all. Your upgrade starts with 49th State Remodeling and Restoration.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
This is Lori Prox of KVAK Radio. Well, last season, Natalie Savasco of Fairbanks took home the Valdez Halibut Derby first place prize of $10,000 with a halibut weighing in at just 205 pounds. From 1991 to present, only two anglers have caught fish weighing in at less than 200 pounds and won the top prize. In 2015, Brad Birch of Clackamas, Oregon, won first place with a 196.2-pound fish, and Jeremy Smith of North Pole, Alaska, won the Derby in 2022 with a 170-pound halibut. The size of the winning halibut in the Valdez Halibut Derby has ranged from that 170-pounder to the record-breaking 374-pound halibut caught by Frieda Wiley in 2017. Even when anglers don't go out too far, fishing's been pretty good. Tom Keeler of Casa Grande, Arizona, said they were pulling up shrimp pots at the Narrows when he started jigging and hooked into a 119.2-pound halibut. "I jigged until I thought my arms were going to fall off, and all of a sudden, hold on," Keeler said. "The guy we bought our boat off of up there was really surprised. He couldn't believe it, and neither could I. It's the biggest halibut I've ever caught. I was really excited." It looks like the pink salmon are on pace to be in Valdez July 4th weekend. By the Valdez Kids Pink Salmon Derby, Saturday, July 19th, they should be thick in the port.
Go fishing, Valdez! Easy Freeze is open 5:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. They can book your fishing charter and blast freeze and vacuum pack your fish. Going out on a private boat? Come get your bait and ice. Easy Freeze can process your catch, too. They've got a variety of seafood for sale at their shop on Chittenah Drive. And if you have special requests for pickups or drop-offs, they'll do their best to accommodate. Easy Freeze!
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR Weather.
High temperatures reach up to 82 today under mainly clear skies, east winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 57. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 84. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prues in the studio here with Brittany Smart with
University of Alaska Fairbanks
and
the Alaska Defense Forum.
There you go. Now, your position up at the University of Alaska, that's a DOD-funded position right now.
Yes, yes.
How did that come about?
So actually, through working with the Association of Defense Communities, there's a DOD entity out of a section of the Office of Secretary of Defense called Acquisitions and Sustainment. Mm-hmm. And this entity is called the Office of Local Defense Community Cooperation, OLDCC, or Old CC. And that is DOD money specifically meant to help support communities in addressing some of the DOD mission and readiness needs. One of the programs that they have that the community may be the most familiar with is called DCIP, the Defense Community Infrastructure Program. And that is where local communities can apply for funding to help support our local infrastructure build out. So that's an example of DOD partnership, right? And so through that, we are working to implement the Eielson Air Force Base Regional Growth Plan, just address some of the gaps and challenges as with increasing pressures of growth. What do we need in order to be responsive to that mission set and provide that support? And through that funding opportunity, we were able to fund a position to help implement and provide oversight to some of those issues.
Okay. So when you move from the borough to the university, was it all about this position?
It was, and it was to take that, what I was doing at the local borough level, we were focused very jurisdictionally on Eielson, on Fairbanks North Star Borough, and the intent is to move this effort to a statewide approach. I'm a firm believer that just because we have installations in Fairbanks and Anchorage, that does not mean that the only defense communities are in Fairbanks and Anchorage.
Yeah, Delta, Clear.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I firmly believe that Alaska is a defense state.
Yeah.
We have DOD assets throughout the state, and they need us, and to some extent, we need them. They're a huge part of our economy. Alaska plays an important role in our nation's security. And how do we fit in making mm-hmm. sure that we are providing what is needed to provide that national defense mission?
What is your travel like?
Oh, it's been
and not including been... your daughter's cheer stuff.
Yes, cheer competition has definitely been hectic.
That is a priority. Great to see.
So majority of my travel is to participate in these Association of Defense Community gatherings. That is where I have opportunities to have meetings with Pentagon-level officials. We have these conversations on what the needs are, and that helps us shape future projects. So I go to D.C. About once a year. And then that is it's called National Summit, is the conference we go to. That is the policy-based event that I model the Alaska Defense Forum after, that day one. It's the policy-based one. And then the other event that they have is the Installation Innovation Forum. And that moves around the country to various defense communities. So this year, it's in Monterey Bay. Last year was in San Antonio. Year before that was in Orlando. And that one is all about case studies. How are communities and installations across the country working together? What are some lessons learned? What are the challenges that they're identifying? It's not always, hey, we did the perfect thing. Sometimes it is, we are failing at this, and this is where we need to do better. But in the journey of discovering that, this is what we learned. What else are you all doing that we could integrate? And so those kinds of conversations and idea sets have really helped inform some of the projects that we've moved forward on. And I know I'm being vague on specifics. The Alaska Military Affairs Commission that is established at the state in the last legislative session was one of the examples of that.
You're at the University of Alaska as an employee. What's the branch? What's the hierarchy? Who do you answer to? Or who do you report to?
Absolutely. So I report to Dr. Nettie LaBelle Hamer. She's the Deputy Director of the Geophysical Institute.
You introduced me to her.
Yes. Yes.
And so you're under the GI.
Yes.
Okay. And what else do you bring to the GI?
I think
besides this forum.
So I think what I bring to this forum is my true passion for local government and local community. I am a huge proponent of being able to identify the problem sets mm-hmm. and having a noticeable difference. I like working with the people and helping develop informed policy decisions and solutions to whatever issues are coming before us. So I bring that knowledge of how local government works to the table. I bring some of those relationships to the table, and I really look forward to fostering that and growing that aspect.
Okay. You have a basically an open book then. To go search, find, and bring back.
Absolutely. I'm a huge proponent of storytelling is important. Mm-hmm. And if you don't write your story, someone else will write it for you. And I want to be able to be the one that writes my own story and the story of our community. It frustrates me when I go around to some of these events or I hear some of these conversations, again, talking about Alaska and the Arctic, and then we're not present there in those conversations. It doesn't always have to be me, but I like to help make sure that the connections are made so our voice is represented.
It's our location, so let it be our story for you to hear.
Absolutely.
How did you fall into this again, let's go back to the Alaska Defense Forum. You're sitting there and they're talking about Alaska, and there's nothing in Alaska, but they're talking about Alaska. Mm-hmm. So when this brain cell went off between you and Bryce, then what happened?
So I would say that it was a bit more of a slow go. At first, we were like, well, we just need to bring more individuals from Alaska to these events. And then they can have a sense of what we're talking about. Because frequently what would happen is we would go and it's like, hey, this is what they're doing, this other community. I wonder how we could adapt that for it to work for us. And then we would come back and him and I would be driving the momentum, but it's harder to communicate if you don't see the impact of how these relationships can really grow and strengthen impact. Mm-hmm. And so it was a graduated sense of like, okay, it's hard to get people to come with us. It's a long way to travel. You know what? What if we just talk to ADC, that's the Association of Defense Communities, and see what a regional forum looks like? And so we worked with them, and they're like, sure, we can do a regional forum. So they helped us set up the first one, and it ended up being a huge success. We're like, okay, maybe there's something to having this space to have these dedicated conversations. We had high levels of participation at all levels of audience. At first, when we were planning it, we weren't sure what the response would be from the public. And then throughout the year, we started getting people to pinging us and saying, hey, that was really great. When's the next one? Are you planning the next one? We're looking at each other and like, oh, well, we guess we should plan the next one. Well, for context, the first one we planned was 2019. So if we were going to host an annual event, the next one would have been 2020. So clearly, with COVID happening, we ended up not having it. And then people started asking, okay, COVID's kind of over. Are you going to plan that next one again? And that's how it started developing into an ongoing rather than just a one-time shot event.
Hmm. So you start on a Monday, the 25th.
Yep.
And it's a show and tell period for things around Fairbanks.
Yep.
And then Tuesday started at 8:30. And what's first up?
That is TBD because we are still working with our...
What's that an acronym for?
To be determined. I will say our agenda is fully in active development. So we are working with some complicated schedules and travel authorizations. So I am confident that we will get...
So the generals and the senators and the, you know, as they're available, they can come in and fill in a slot. And here's their 20 to 30 minutes of time.
Correct. We have had our first official announcement that we've been able to announce, and that is Ms. Nancy Balkis, which is with the Secretary of the Air Force for Installations, Energy, and Environment. She's the one leading the Eielson microreactor project from the Eielson perspective. She is aligning their engagements for the Eielson microreactor in town that week, and she will be present and on stage and engaging there at the Alaska Defense Forum.
Have you reviewed the Eielson microreactor at all?
What do you mean by review it?
Seeing what it is, you know, what the costs or the estimated costs, things like that.
So I have been working with the project team and helping make some of their community connections. There's a lot up in the air. They just made their announcement of they released their NOIDA, the Notice of Intent to Award, to Oklo. So now Oklo is going to be in the process of designing and putting their project together. So right now it's been in the RFP and award state, and there's been some pauses as that contract award has been challenged. So that contract is now moving forward. So there's not necessarily much to see yet other than what we know what the Air Force is looking for in terms of requirements. And now it's up to Oklo to design it to meet those requirements from the Air Force.
The reason I bring it up is so often in the history of the United States, the military leads the way in many ways. And so here they are bringing up the second one. The first one is out at Fort Greeley, but a nuclear reactor, a micro-nuclear reactor, small. And how it can be installed, implemented, and can that be implemented into village use, you know, small communities, things like that to cut down the cost of power. So... My thought is I'd be reviewing every step of this for civilian conversion.
So that's one of the exciting things about the DoD approach to this project to begin with. And if you hear Ms. Balkis speak, she'll talk of her three Ps. And one of those Ps is pathways. Mm-hmm. There's a variety of different ways you can permit nuclear projects. And the way they chose to move this forward is to go through the commercial permitting application process rather than just their DoD process, because they want to be the unit number one.
They're the beta.
They're the beta, exactly. And so no one really wants unit number one, right? They want to be 2, 3, 4, 5,
exactly.
Right? And
yeah.
So what...
After this is well-practiced and seasoned, we know what we're doing. Exactly. It is a nuclear power plant, by the way.
Exactly. And so what the reason they went through the process they did is they want to lay the pathway of what further commercial application could look like. This is how you have to approach it. This is what works. This is how that process works. And be able to set it up in a sense that can be then duplicated by other entities. If they had gone through their normal DoD permitting processes, we wouldn't be able to duplicate the process.
Yeah. Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break here. I have some bumper music for you. It's Stevie Ray Vaughan, Crossroads. Then we're going to have a little bit of Fox News, looks like some commercials, some weather, and we will be back. But here's some Stevie Ray Vaughan. I'm being your entertainment director on the Lido deck. We'll be back.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm John Saucier. The Senate has passed President Trump's tax cut and spending bill. The president asked about House Republicans who say they oppose the bill because of the Senate's changes and what his message might be to those holdouts.
It's a great bill. There is something for everyone. And I think it's going to go very nicely in the House. Actually, I think it will be easier in the House than it was in the Senate.
Well, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer criticizing Republicans for supporting this legislation.
This is not a beautiful bill. Anyone who loses their health insurance doesn't think it's beautiful. Any worker in clean energy industry who loses their job does not think it's beautiful. Any mom who can't feed her kid on $5 a day doesn't think it's beautiful.
Vice President Vance brought in to break a 50-50 tie. Three Republicans joined Democrats in voting against this bill. It now heads back to the House of Representatives for a final vote. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports the Wasilla Police Department took two men into custody Thursday night after finding fentanyl and heroin in their vehicle during a traffic stop near the old Glen Highway exit. The department arrested 39-year-old Konstantinos Lambaronkis and 41-year-old Orion Seal and charged them with two counts of second-degree misconduct involving a controlled substance. According to charging documents obtained by Alaska's news source, investigators saw a black GMC Sierra with dark window tint parked in the McDonald's parking lot on Arctic Boulevard. The GMC sat in the parking lot for approximately 2 hours before circling the block and moving to a different parking lot nearby. The investigators obtained a search warrant and found 13.24 grams of fentanyl, 7.32 grams of powdered heroin, and $2,141 in cash. Wasilla police said it was equivalent to 450 doses of fentanyl and 80 doses of powdered heroin. Lambaronkis and Seal were both arrested.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hey parents, if you want your kids to learn how to fish and actually catch one, then Valdez is the place. The Valdez Kids Pink Salmon Derby is Saturday, July 19th. Kids age 5 to 16 get a free hat at the Derby weigh-in station. Then cast a line from shore or a boat to catch a pink salmon. Visit ValdezFishDerbies.com for more information on how to enter and have a chance to win one of four $100 grand prizes or fishing poles. The Valdez Kids Pink Salmon Derby is free. Get all the details at ValdezFishDerbies.com.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereaton, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereaton, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Auto Trim Design. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Endless opportunities are waiting for you with part-time service in the Alaska Army National Guard. You have the chance to be a guardian of this amazing state and help protect what makes it so special. The Alaska Army National Guard responds quickly to emergencies and helps citizens in need. With so much amazing territory to watch over, first responders depend on the Alaska Army National Guard helicopters and air crews for critical search and rescue missions, fighting wildfires, as well as transport to hard-to-reach areas. Soldiers also help local communities recover from the damage caused by storms and floods. Your service will also provide education benefits. The Alaska Army National Guard has several assistance programs to help pay tuition costs and other educational expenses so you can get the education needed to reach your career goals. And you can go to school full-time while serving part-time. Learn how you can help guard the last frontier at nationalguard.com/AK. Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard. Aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM. And streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back with Brittany Smart here. Now, Brittany, I have a problem with you.
Oh, no.
You like the purple? You like the purple?
I was just saying, in this soundproof room, normally I see a dark gray, and it's nice to see the pop of color.
You probably like North Korean equipment, too, don't you?
Jeez.
You're too positive.
Oh, it's just colorful.
What do you got planned for the 4th of July?
I think, okay, so my daughter is now, she's 7, about to be 8.
Marison,
and she is asking for a room remodel. She is ready for her bedroom to be something that she chooses, and she's a huge Harry Potter fan.
Oh.
And very proud of being a Ravenclaw.
Wow.
And so I am going to be cleaning and painting this weekend to do that. But we will be going out. I think we're going to be hitting up the Esther Parade. That's one of our favorites, to go out to North Pole, to the Grange, and then possibly go over to a friend's house for a barbecue. So just kind of doing some home chores, taking care of some things, taking advantage of the weather, and being out and celebrating with some friends.
She's grown up fast. You know, I remember when she was about 2-3 years old on the at that dog mushing event.
Yeah. That's how she remembers you. You picked her up so she could give a high five to the dog mushers.
Yeah, Fairbanks, says me and some friends were watching there near the Cushman Street Bridge, the starting of the Yukon Quest. And Brittany, her husband, Marison, the daughter, was just down about 15 feet from us. And as the mushers were going by, you know, me being my normal self, I was slapping them all high five. You know, I'd lean out into it. And then a little bit later, down walks Brittany, and she goes, "My daughter's wondering if she can do that with you." I said, "Oh, yeah." So I took Marison, and I had her hand out there. You know, she was enjoying the heck out of it. She's slapping all the mushers high five as they're going along with the dogs. And anyway, that's how I met Marison. Now I'm her corporate sponsor for her travel.
Yes, thank you so much for the support there. She's very dedicated to our competitive cheer team. We go to North Star All Stars, and she's actually on 2 cheer teams this year. We've got an in-state travel and an out-of-state travel. So definitely going to be hitting up some fundraisers early. And
you know, it's... I don't care what it is, but it's great socialization for kids.
Yeah.
They're in a team competitive environment, and they get to know people at a young age, and they get to grow. They get to get better at something at a young age. And it's great to see, and good for you, Mom. And then, you know, I'm not a stalker on Facebook, but I follow you. And, you know, you're looking like you're pretty spent, you know, by the time these are done.
Oh, they are full all-day events, let me tell you what. But, you know, as long as the kiddo, I keep telling her, she has the choice every season whether she wants to continue or not. I tell her that once she commits to a team, she will follow through that on that commitment. So mm-hmm. She is committing for the full season. And as long as she's working hard, having fun, and doing her best, I don't care about anything else. So
there you go.
She sets goals every year, and she works towards those goals. And sometimes she's experienced some disappointment. She doesn't always get what she wants. And one of the things that I really like about that gym is, in particular, and her coaches, is she has to earn her spot for everything, right?
Yeah.
They don't just give her things.
Yep.
And so she's had some points where she got pulled off of something she really wanted because she wasn't performing. And then she'd come home, she puts in the work, she's able to earn her spots back. And I love that accountability piece. I mean, the competitive sports don't matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not what I'm paying for. I'm paying for the life skills of learning disappointment, setting goals, and working and doing your best, and feeling that sense on something that is going to be impactful, but ultimately, long-term, it's not going to matter.
True. So, Tuesday, you have one scheduled speaker.
Okay, so we're getting back into the program.
So through
our theme, some of the topics that we are working on, it's all about readiness, right? So we're going to be, hang on, I'm pulling up my planning tracking right now. Some of the topics that we're working to slot in is we're going to have one called, and this is in partnership with Alaska Unlimited. We are going to be having a conversation about frozen front lines countering unconventional warfare in Alaska and the Arctic. We're going to be talking a little bit about how warfare is conducting, is getting changed a little bit more about some of the cybersecurity, some of those kinds of pieces, and what does that really mean from a community perspective? How do we make sure that we are being ready on our side in order to mitigate impacts from those kinds of attacks? We're also working on a concept on the readiness of the warfighter. When you're talking about the warfighter itself, what are all of those other things that need to be taken care of in order for them to be ready for their mission?
Mm-hmm.
And that means, is their family taken care of? Does the spouse have employment? Are they earning enough in order to pay their bills? Are they in a safe house? Are the kids getting quality education? Do they have the health care access that they need? What are those other pressures that are taking their mind off of their mission that are on the community side that we can help work and address? We're also going to be talking about what readiness really means, and that's building communities that power the mission. So from a community, as we're talking about community readiness, what does that mean and how does that work and how do we go through those partnerships? We're also going to be having the Joint Community Partnerships team come up so that they come up every year. They oversee what's called IGSAs, the Intergovernmental Support Agreements. And that is a contracting method that allows local municipalities in the state to partner with a DOD to address some shared challenges. And so that team is going to be coming forward, and we're going to be talking about partnerships through that. And then, of course, with Ms. Balkis, we're going to be talking about powering the mission, nuclear energy as a strategic advantage. What does microreactor technology mean in order to meet the DoD mission, but what are the broader applications throughout Alaska and the Arctic? So those are some of the ones that are in development, that they're not fully
fleshed out yet.
Fully fleshed out, but those are the topics. We're just confirming the speakers. We've identified who we want on them, and we're just aligning schedules. That's really the point we're at. We know what we want to talk about is getting
busy. People are coming in to give you some time.
Yep. So we are. I'm really crossing my fingers that with the travel restrictions removed and with DOGE kind of done going through departments, we're getting a better sense of what travel budgets can be. That's one of the biggest challenges. Is it's a long way to travel if they're coming from out of state. Yes, this is an Alaska audience, but part of the impact of this event is we got Pentagon level officials here,
mm-hmm.
Can't announce anything yet because we're confirming schedules, but I'm really, really hopeful that we're going to have a pretty full event agenda of some.
I want some 4 stars. I don't mess around. I want 4 stars. I don't want theater commanders. I want the commanders. Forget the 3 stars. I want the 4 stars.
I will say that conversations are taking place at all levels, and I am, as soon as we can announce and secure, once we can formally confirm and announce that those individuals are coming, they will be posted.
Hmm. Fairbanks, I'm suffering from allergies here, so if you hear a pause or something like that, it's because I'm rubbing my eyes right now, trying not to sneeze, thinking about statements of people who like purple padded rooms that they put me in, and I'm not on any drugs, so I'm just in a decrepit mood.
Oh, see, I thought it was tears of adoration.
No. You know, this time of year, it happens.
Yeah.
And I just don't, you know. I don't believe in better living through chemistry yet. And so anyway, I'll get some eye drops this afternoon and put those in and start going that direction. Anyway, but I had the thought,
mm-hmm.
your size's limit is 300.
Historically, that's what it was at the Westmark. So
I was going to say, this is bigger.
Yeah, moving it to the A-Star Event Center, I believe we can grow it to as large as 700. So we moved to a new location with the intent of we needed room for growth.
And this will give it to you.
I'm
300 is going to look small in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be sparse.
Spacious.
Yeah.
We'll have room to where,
everyone can do a jumping jack.
When we were at the Westmark, again, lovely location. It suited our needs for quite a while. But we got to the point where we kept on having to bring in more and more chairs, and people had a hard time moving in between the tables. So it was a great problem to have. But I'm really excited about the opportunity to have more space to allow more room for those conversations. And something that's been asked for multiple years is there's been individuals wanting to have a place to have vendor tables, and we have not been able to offer that. So this year with our various sponsor levels, we're actually able to offer a static unmanned table for promotional materials to be set out for those that wish it. in order to share with the audience. So our structure is all fireside chats. We don't really do slide decks or presentations. It is a conversation. We do not have live mics on the audience floor. Instead, we leverage a tool called Slido, which you use a QR code, and people type in their questions, and then the audience can uptick the topics. Do we need to pause and come back to this?
Nope.
So
she saw me working my North Korean equipment to keep it operating, and she made a mistake that I was like
cutting me off.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to keep North Korean equipment operating.
Gotcha. So
why I'm not on drugs with my allergies.
So with this Slido app, all the audience members can submit questions, and they can see the other questions coming in, and those that are upvoted to the top, upvoted, move to the top, and then the moderator can integrate the questions into the conversation live. So we do not have a static Q&A session. It's welded throughout the conversation. So that's the format that we're working with. We've gotten really positive results from that. The feedback has been that the panels have been very responsive to the audience interests. And so we're really excited to continue that format and these conversations through that.
We have a phone call. You ready?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Brittany Smart, and your name is?
This is Charlie, Dave.
Charlie, how you doing, sir?
Hey, my subject is, how can an aircraft carry a nuclear power plant or parts of that? Apparently, the shielding is the main weight restriction on aircraft carrying nuclear material today. Just wondering.
I mean, it's a worthwhile question. I will say I'm not your technical expert on aeronautical engineering or nuclear engineering, so I am not equipped to answer that question. But those are some of the conversations and concerns that are brought up at this event and we have conversations about. And so even though I may not be the one to answer, this provides a space for those questions to be asked, and hopefully the experts are there in the room who can answer. And if they don't know the answer, then they at least know who may be able to do so. So that's a non-answer there for you, sir, but...
That's a pretty technical question.
That's about the best I could do on that one.
The accident rate's about 30% in general military training and stuff, but that's to consider, too. They still don't get the idea. People got to be acquainted with the Arctic conditions when they come to Alaska.
There you go. Hey, I appreciate the question. You have a great day, Charlie, in Fairbanks. We're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
What are you doing in the library? You're a dog.
Hi, I'm Jack, a Companions Inc. Fairbanks volunteer therapy dog. My human brings me to the university library right before final exams every semester, and I hang out with all my university students. They toss my ball, scratch my ears, they laugh, relax, decrease their stress. As a Companions Inc. therapy dog, I volunteer to share my love regularly at Denali Center and community events. If you want to learn more about Companions Inc. Fairbanks, go to companionsinc.org.
It's Derby season, which means it's time to head to Valdez and fish. Listen to KFAR Radio Monday through Saturday at 6:20, 7:20, or 11:15 for the Valdez Fishing Report. You'll get updates on the current standings along with the latest tips, hot spots, and techniques, and the stories from the anglers in Valdez. The Valdez Fishing Report is proudly brought to you by Century Hardware, Jiffy Lube, and 49 State Remodeling and Restoration. The Valdez Fishing Report on News Talk for the Interior, KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
Preparing for your next Alaska adventure? Alaska Gear Company has you covered, on the ground and in the air. From bunny boots to hot tents, dip nets to aviation must-haves, this isn't your average gear shop. It's where serious outdoorsmen and bush pilots load up before heading out into the wilderness. Base camp supplies? Got them. Hangar essentials? Absolutely. Alaska Gear Company has you covered no matter your mission. Visit our newly remodeled store to gear up at Alaska Gear Company, 730 Old Steese Highway in Fairbanks.
Fairbanks is raving about the technology available for your home from the folks at Gen Solar. From the Tesla solar technology and their amazing sleek power walls, to the always dependable Generac system and EcoFlow battery systems, all for your home or business, all designed to keep your home safe from power outages while feeding power back to the grid and saving you time and money. See for yourself and get all of your questions answered in their amazing new showroom, 29 College Road, right across from the Bentley Mall. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. Gen Solar.
KFAR weather.
Highs level off around 82 this afternoon. Under mainly clear skies, easterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 57 tonight. Partly cloudy skies. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. Highs level off around 84. Lots of sunshine and dry Thursday and Friday with highs in the mid-80s. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Brittany Smart in the studio with me here. We're talking about her
Alaska Defense Forum,
which is
August 25th through the 27th.
And this is year number?
5. 5 years. Oh. Gone by fast.
You know, you have to fund this somehow.
Yes.
So you got to go out and get corporate sponsors. Who do you got?
Yeah, so I'm so thankful for all of our sponsors because this is not
cheap.
It's not easy, and it's not profit either. This is all we've got to cover: the space rental, AV, food, all that. So without their support, we wouldn't be able to do it. And the one that comes in solid with us every single year, first out of the gate, Explore Fairbanks. So not only do they help as part of the planning team, they also provide sponsorship. And this year, for the last couple of years, they've been sponsoring the lanyards and the name badges. So when you get your name badge, you'll be, you know, sporting the Explore Fairbanks tag there, and just super excited to have them help us plan and organize and support this event. Respec is another one that's come in for the last couple of years. So they sponsor one of the lunches that we have. Mm-hmm. So thanks to them, we're able to keep our costs low, or lower than the actual cost of covering it. So we're super excited to have them join us again this year. And we've got two new ones that have come in at some levels. South 8 Technologies does some they do work on batteries. And they're interested in doing more with Arctic applicability. And so they're going to be coming to the event this year. And then Concurrent Technologies Corporation, which is CTC, is what it's known for. They've been they provide support to DOD for managing various projects. For instance, they support Miss Balkis and the Eielson Microreactor Project. So they're going to be coming up in their sponsoring. We've got some others coming in this year, just naming a few. Excited to have Lockheed join us in sponsoring the event this year. You heard about ESI earlier. This is the second year that they've been coming, and really excited to have them. We partner with Ted Stevens Center a lot. That one's more of a partnership. Randy Church Key down there at Ted Stevens Center and his team are just phenomenal and really appreciative of the support that they provide. I've got more, so I was just taking off your cues. Okay, so Doyon Utilities and Doyon Limited sponsor our reception every year, and that is a key networking event where we come and we celebrate an achievement of some sort. A few years ago, we were recognized as a Great American Defense Community for the Fairbanks North Star Borough region, not the government entity, the region. And so we had our award presentation at the reception. Last year, we recognized the school district with some of the work that they've done. And I'm excited about possibly having another recognition of sorts at the reception this year. Armed Services YMCA of Alaska has coming in. Matson, Interior Gas Utility, and Alaska Unlimited have all been fully committed. We've got some others coming in. The borough, Fairbanks North Star Borough, is supporting Usabelli Coal Mine. Sourcewell is a bulk purchasing entity out of Minnesota that has actually a lot of Alaska businesses and municipalities as part of their bulk purchasing program. And so they're excited to share more about the work that they're doing in Alaska. Alaska Behavioral Health, Alaska Center for UAS Integration, better known as AQUASI, Center ICE, the Air and Space Force Association, Air and Space Force Association, and Southeast Conference have all committed sponsorship to the event this year. And without their support, we wouldn't be able to have this event. But if anybody else is interested in supporting and sponsoring, it does come with tickets to the event. We have custom packages available, or we also have some other pre-created packages for consideration, and really look forward to the partnership and support.
Good to hear. You know, it takes a lot of work to put something like this on. Who's with your team? Who's the team? This can't be Brittany Smart. This is too big.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, I would not be able to do this without the – we partner with FEDC, Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation. So Jomo and his team over there really help with managing the logistics of the event, really overseeing some of the contracts and helping set up the menus and securing the space and getting the registrations taken care of and managing the sponsorship. So really a lot of the logistics piece is managed over there at FEDC. More of my lead is setting the overall vision and goals of the event and, mm-hmm. and pulling the agenda together.
Getting the invitations
and
out.
The invitations and the speakers. Explore Fairbanks helps a lot with getting some of the RFPs out so we can find our event locations, we can secure our menus. Midnight Sun Catering is going to be catering our reception again this year. We're going to be hosting it at the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center. We're needing to secure transportation this year, so that's a little bit of an added cost since there's no hotel rooms over at the 8-Star Event Center. We need to have a transportation sponsor in order to move our attendees from the hotel room blocks over to the event space. We also have the tours, so we need transportation there. So Explore Fairbanks really helps us manage the RFPs for that. So they are a key piece of this partnership. We're also working with Golden Heart Consulting. She's really helping us build this event to the next level in terms of branding. We've been doing incremental steps over the last few years to come up with a logo, secure some color themes and branding, and do social media marketing and getting an Alaska Business Magazine and doing our website. So we have some UAF folks that are helping actually execute some of those strategies, but she really helps with the branding and the vision of pulling that together.
It takes a village, and everyone's in the village is working on this.
Absolutely, and everyone's got strengths, right? And there are things that I'm just not great at that I know that I want to, like yesterday, we were over at the 8-Star Event Center and talking about what is the look and feel. I know I want it to be conversationalist. I want it to be welcoming. How do I do that with a color palette? No idea. No clue. And so Olivia was there and we were meeting with the contractor and we were looking at color swatches and I'm like, you guys do your thing. I have full faith. Like, you know what I want and just help me make it happen.
You know, it's never over.
No.
It's never done.
Nope.
Even when the last person goes, you're still 2 weeks worth of shutting down, cleaning up, saying goodbye, wrapping up.
Well, for the event aspects, absolutely. But I'm a huge proponent is that this event is a flash in the pan. It's the dedicated time where we all come together specifically about this topic. The real work happens with all the partnerships and the relationships that are created as a result of this event. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that's going to be new this year is it was recommended that we pull some white papers together. Well, like, what are some of the key findings coming out of this event? And how can we then use that to build some projects coming down the pipeline? And I thought that was a fantastic idea. So after the event, we're going to develop these white papers and use that to share around and hope to see some investment, some collaboration, some actual partnerships, and see what happens. Do I know what those are? Not necessarily. But I look forward to seeing what can come.
Well, we got about a minute and a half left. How do you want to end it?
Well, let's start with go to AlaskaDefenseForum.com. That's our event website. If you want any information, sign up for our newsletter. We're at info@AlaskaDefenseForum.com. Feel free to shoot me an email. I am bsmart4@alaska.edu. And just really hope any of you that are interested in sponsoring or attending and being a part of this conversation and supporting this event, just reach out, let us know, get us registered. Registrations are live. We look forward to having you.
We're going to take a phone call real fast.
Sure.
Good morning. You got about a minute left on the phone, on the air here, and your name is?
Randy.
Randy, what's up?
I was just curious. I heard the lady mention that she likes to go to the Esther 4th of July celebration, and I just wondered, I've never been to that. What are some of the highlights there that they do?
People viewing.
Oh, yes. Esther just comes alive. It showcases what Esther's all about. So the community comes together, parades down the parade route. They end at the park. They have a big potluck barbecue, and it's just a great time with community.
It's a great parade. North Pole has a great parade. But the best part about both parades is the people you interact with.
Absolutely.
Randy, thank you for the phone call, buddy. And Brittany, thank you very much for coming on the show. your fifth year of success. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, sir.
Fairbanks, I'll see you tomorrow. And I have Joni Skillbred on the radio with me tomorrow. We're talking about Father Francis Monroe. We'll see you tomorrow.